Well, good evening. Welcome to Crossroads Baptist Church. Our first song tonight is 541, Set My Soul Afire, Lord, 541. And you all may stay seated for this song, all right?
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and night.
Tonight. Appreciate you being here. Service, we're looking forward to the message from Brother Josh. Glad to have Josh's dad here with us tonight as well. And I was their pastor back in the dark ages, back a long, long time ago. We did have cars back then. But what a blessing to have them here with us tonight. And Josh, as he brings the message for us tonight, let's bow for a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We pray that you would indeed set our soul afire tonight. I pray, as we prayed with Josh earlier today, that God, you would help us not only to get a burden for the mission fields around the world, but God, give us a burden for the lost right around us in our mission field here. We pray that you would work tonight, draw us up close to yourself, and you without Christ tonight might be drawn closer to him. We've got a few folks in the church that are sick tonight and not feeling well. We pray your healing touch upon them. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do tonight. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
283, so little time, the harvest will be over. 283, we're going to sing the first, the fourth, and last. First, fourth, and last.
So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers take it home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Friendship, a house or car, or garments fair or fame, will all be trash when souls are brought to heaven, and then how sad to face the slacker's blame. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
Now that last, the harvest wide with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Let's get around and greet our church family and guests as well.
Jesus, a soul who's never heard. Let's take the good news, let's take God's living word. Around the corner, around the world. Around the corner, around the world. A soul needs Jesus, a soul who's never heard. Let's take the good news, let's take God's living word. Around the corner, around the world.
Thank you, all may be seated.
Just a few announcements to remind you of, and another thank you card, this time from the Pate family. It says, "Dear Crossroads family, we are so enjoying the opportunity to be back with you all for a few weeks and are again overwhelmed by your kindness and hospitality. Thank you so much to each of you who helped prepare the Mission House and also to all who helped provide groceries and pantry supplies for our return. We were pleasantly surprised to arrive and find a full fridge. Thank you for blessing us in this way and for helping us to be able to settle and adjust more smoothly. We thank God for your generosity and for the privilege of having such a sweet sending church. I love you all, the Pate family." Also want to remind you of our prayer meeting every Sunday night at 5 o'clock. If you can make that, we're praying for a new pastor. And I also want to remind you of Master Clubs starting this coming Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. They'll have a registration time. They'll have an opening rally. They'll have some games and some snacks. And so if you know any children 3 years old to sixth grade, please invite them to join us. And if you have any questions, see Marco or Elizabeth. And another announcement for the Master Club workers, after the evening service on the 18th, they're going to have a meeting in the fellowship hall. That's when the college kids will be back, and they'll be talking about how the club will work throughout the whole year. So if you can come to that, that'll be after the evening service on the 18th of August. We also want to remind you of the baby and child dedication service on August the 18th in the morning service. And if you're interested in participating, please see Brother Ledbetter today. And we're grateful the college kids will be back on the 18th, and we're going to have a finger food fellowship for them Sunday the 25th. And there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. If you'd like to bring some snacks, put your name down and what snacks you're going to bring. We're looking forward to the college kids coming back. They're a real encouragement. Josh, I think that's it.
Always amen. Fellowship. Amen. 233, little as much when God is in it. Would you all stand as we sing the first, second, and last verses of 233.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it and he'll not forget his own. Little is mine. When God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Now that last, when the conflict is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonathan, would you lead in prayer? this moment, Drew Hay is going to come and sing a special for us, and then after that, Josh is going to come and preach.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power hath no boundaries, known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power hath no boundaries, known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, his grace, his grace, his wonderful grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. And his love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power hath no boundaries, known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again.
Well, good evening. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Drew, for that special. Truly, we are saved by the grace of God. We continue to live by the grace of God each day. And even in the midst of difficult moments, we cling to the grace of God. And then for us as missionaries, we find that we continue to live by the grace of God. And anything that we see as accomplished in the Ivory Coast is only by God's grace. And I want to thank you, church, for your prayer for us, for your encouragement in our lives. You've been such a blessing to us. We have now been sent out of the Crossroads Baptist Church for a couple of years now. We began in we began by going to language school in Quebec, Canada, to learn the French language, and then we arrived in the Ivory Coast last year. And I want to just thank you for your prayer for us. And if you would like a prayer card, there's a stack of prayer cards in the corner of the auditorium back there. You can feel free to pick up one of those. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can figure this out so I can keep talking. There, that looks a little bit better. Okay, very good. Well, like I mentioned, we arrived in the Ivory Coast last year after spending a year in Quebec, Canada, to learn the French language. So we arrived there on August the 2nd of 2023. We're so grateful for what the Lord's already been doing in the year that we've been there. And it's just been a blessing to see the Lord work and to see answers to prayer. And I truly know that it's by God's grace that we've been able to continue there. And I know that it's because of your prayer. And I want to thank you for that. We've seen God do some miraculous things in the last year, and that is only by God's grace. We recognize our limitation. We recognize that we are very frail, very feeble, and we recognize that when we're speaking French, for sure, we're not very good at it. And yet the Lord is using that, and that he is working there in the Ivory Coast, and we look back and we can sense that's only because of God. It's by God's grace. And I want to thank you for praying for our family. It's been such a blessing to partner together for the cause of Christ over the last couple of years, specifically over the last year there in the Ivory Coast. Before we get into our message, I want to just share a quick update regarding what the Lord's been doing there in the Ivory Coast. You may remember that Crossroads helped to participate in our literature container project. And so on the left there, the left picture, we see the container having arrived there in the Ivory Coast. It's a 40-foot container that was full of almost 400,000 pieces of gospel literature. And on the right here, we see these individuals from our church, from Bob Mack's church, the veteran missionary there, distributing the Déjà Fait, the done books in French in the villages. And so many of you participated in putting these booklets together so that we can take them to the Ivory Coast and share the gospel there. And I want to thank you for that. And so that happened in the month of September of 2023, and we're still using those books. I assume we've already used several thousand of them, and we'll continue to distribute them in the villages there in the Ivory Coast. And then something else we've been doing quite regularly is just evangelism and visitation in the villages, and specifically in the village of Anna. And I want to thank you for praying for us. If you're following along in our prayer letters, I will mention different individuals who receive Christ as Savior, or perhaps someone we visited recently who needs to receive Christ as Savior. So on the left, this is more of our visitation. The left picture, the individual on the right, his name is Francis, and he is part of our church plant there in the village of Anna. We're very thankful for him and for his family. And then the picture on the right, the man there in the orange shirt, he had a motorcycle accident several years ago, so he walks with a cane, and his leg never properly healed from that, and so we have someone pick him up for church on Wednesdays, and even on Sundays, he takes public transportation. We try to take him to the bus stop afterwards to make it easier for him, but he's very, very faithful, and we're so thankful for him. His name is Clovis, or I don't really know if there's an English name for that. Clovis is his name. And just so thankful for him. We were visiting him. Actually, we're visiting his sister-in-law just to try to encourage her. She was already a believer. And then I turned to Clovis and I said, Clovis, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? And he looked at me and he was like, no, I don't think I ever have. So what I did is I started sharing the gospel and just walked through the Romans road. I found that to be the easiest thing for me in French because I can just walk through it. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8. Romans 10:9 and 10. I can just walk through the gospel very plainly and simply. We use a lot of bridge tracks where I can, many, many people in the village are illiterate, and so I can just show them the pictures and show them how Christ is the bridge to eternal life, the only way to heaven. And so I did that with Clovis, and I asked him, I said, have you ever received Christ as Savior, or would you like to receive Christ as Savior today? And he mumbled something, and I didn't know what he said because I cannot understand mumbling in French. And so the guy who was with me said, well, this is what he said. He said he has never accepted Christ as Savior, and he would like to right now. And I said, all right, let's do this. So I moved over a little bit closer to him so I could hear him better since he was mumbling a little bit. And I was able to lead him to the Lord. And so now he's been faithful to our services there on Wednesdays in the village of Anna. And then also he's continuing to be faithful to the services on Sunday. Just such a blessing. He told me, I've never understood the gospel. He said, I've been to church many, many times, but I've never understood the gospel until today. And so just a blessing that God's leading us across the paths of individuals like this. Also in the village of Anna, there's a literacy center teaching people how to read and write, and also a children's Bible club. And like I mentioned, the vast majority of the population, I would say, in the villages are illiterate. And so we have found that the literacy center is very, very efficient, very effective, rather, in teaching people how to read and write so that they can read the Bible and then be able to be a part of the church. This was not started by us, but it's been a blessing to kind of oversee that since we've arrived there on the field. We kind of took over the oversight of that ministry, but it was not started by us. And so the group on the left, in the left picture there, is all the students of that literacy center. These are people, again, who cannot read and write, but through the literacy center, they're learning to so that they can read the Bible. And ultimately, the goal is we want faithful believers, discipled believers, grounded believers, and the only way to really do that is to be able to read your Bible. And so that's our goal, to be able to ground them in the Word of God. The picture on the right is our family with Christine McLaughlin. She's another missionary there with BIMI that we get the privilege to serve with her. This next slide here shows some pictures of the church construction in the village of Anna. You've probably been following with this. In fact, I believe someone showed a video here or two regarding the church construction and the start of services there. And so we've been working towards this. If you remember, ever since we were in deputation, we've been talking about this village and the need to start a church in this village. There are already some believers there that I showed in the picture. For instance, Francis, the man on the left picture a few slides back, he's already saved. He's going to Bob Mack's church on Sunday mornings, taking public transportation into town to go to services there. But there needs to be a church plant in the village, a local church there that's more conveniently located for the villagers. And then also, there really has not been a strong ministry presence there in the village. And so we're excited now to be able to start Wednesday services and then be able to use the Literacy Center, the Bible Club, as ministries of that local church in the village of Anna. So we've been working towards this for quite some time. And once we felt like it was the right moment to begin Wednesday services, we decided to go ahead and build a temporary building. Again, you might remember that this land was purchased just about a year or two ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and Crossroads had a great part in that. And I want to thank you for that. You gave generously to the purchase of this property so that this church could be established there in the Ivory Coast. And so now we've been able to use some of the funds from the leftover funds from the purchase of the land and some other funds and put them together and be able to build this building as you see there on the right. It's an open-air style. If it was closed in, it would be really, really hot in there. And so we decided to leave it an open-air style so we can just enjoy the breeze coming up from the lagoon, from the bottom of the hill. And it's just neat to see how the Lord built a physical building, and then now we get to see him build his church, his little flock there, as Christ said that he would build his church. And so we did have our first service in the village on June the 12th of 2024. The picture on the left, you see me preaching there for the first service. The picture on the far right is another young man from Bob Mack's church who leads the singing for us out there in that church plant. And then in the middle, I'm wearing my pajamas there. No, it's actually just an African outfit there. Really, that would be more of like a tuxedo for them. You know, they dress up, get a full with the pants and everything. So we decided to go ahead and do that for a special occasion. But we had our first service there in Anna on June the 12th of 2024. This is a picture I took with my drone of the church property. And so the new building that we just built is in the top left corner here, where Katie is standing there. This is where the building was just built. And so this outlined section is our property there for the future of the church plant. There's going to be a road put in here eventually and a road put in here. Right now, we just kind of drive through the bush to get to the church property. And so I was telling Pastor Capel this morning, we turn four-wheel drive on every time we go into the village, and then we turn it back off when we go out of the village. But this is our property here. This is a neighbor's property here that they want to develop eventually. And then this is the church property. And so we're just excited to see how the Lord's going to use this piece of property that Crossroads helped to purchase for the establishment of this church, and then to be able to see what the Lord's going to do in the future, obviously in the lives of individuals, in the souls of individuals, seeing people saved, seeing people discipled, seeing that church developed in the village. So we are approaching phase two of our construction. Again, we have a temporary building, kind of an auditorium, temporary auditorium in the top left corner of the property. But we're approaching phase two of construction, Lord willing, perhaps by this fall or the spring, we'd be able to see these things accomplished of putting up a security wall and gates around the property, installing electricity and water, putting up a guard shelter so that we could keep the property secure. And then also we're going to install a storage facility and then use part of that as a youth classroom, because we're looking forward to trying to invest in the youth of the church. Right now we have a children's class and then the adults meet, but I'm sensing a need to try to help engage the youth and be able to disciple them. So we're excited about what the Lord has ahead for that. So that's kind of what we're anticipating for this fall and perhaps for the spring as we go into phase two of the construction. A couple other things that we're praying about for the church development. This is more spiritually what we're trying to focus on. We continue to strengthen the children's and the youth program there in this little church plant. We'll continue with the regular evangelism program and then the other ministries such as the Children's Bible Club, the Literacy Center, and things that are taking place in the village. And then we'll continue to build a strong foundation, Lord willing, through some foundational teaching. I've been teaching on prayer, like I mentioned this past Wednesday, but I'd like to start a series through the book of Ephesians when we get back to the field, to be able to just lay a solid foundation. If you think about Ephesians, the first three chapters is doctrinal. The second half of the book is more of the application to that doctrine. And so I'd like to teach through that book and explain some of the foundational teaching of what it means to be a local church and how we can function as a family, not just as a church family, but as individual families of a father and a mother and the children. And also there's other concepts that are mentioned there. There's prayer, there's music in the church, many, many things, spiritual warfare, that are included in the book of Ephesians. So that's kind of my plan to try to work through some foundational teaching and then work towards the chartering of the membership and the addition of Sunday services. And again, you might remember from our prayer letters, right now these villagers are taking public transportation to Bob Mack's church in the town of Bezierville on Sunday mornings. And so we've just started with Wednesday services for the time being. And then we're going to try to work towards adding Sunday services, chartering the church, adding in other ministries as the Lord allows. So we're really starting the church kind of slowly, a little bit different style than starting on a Sunday morning and then adding Wednesday maybe later on. We've kind of reversed that because the Sunday services are already available or offered at Bob Mack's church. And so this also gives us time to learn the culture better, to learn the language better, and to be able to work together with the people and developing them, discipling them, and then continuing to see souls saved along the way. And then finally, we'd like to build upon the fruits of the medical ministry. Specifically at the end of October, in the first week of November, you can be praying about this. There's a large medical team that's coming to the Ivory Coast to work with Christine McLaughlin, the lady, single missionary nurse that was in one of those pictures. They're coming to work with her specifically in Anna and in one other village. And so what they're trying to do is, I don't know if you're familiar with medical mission trips and what they would do on that, but yes, they do treat people physically, but there's open-air preaching throughout the day, and there's one-on-one evangelism with every single person who is treated physically. And so literally, 1,000-plus people will hear the gospel one-on-one throughout that week in this village alone. And so we're just praying that the Lord would use this to really bolster the church plant, to boost it and be able to see people added to the church. And so we're excited to see what the Lord has in the future coming ahead. That is a quick snapshot of what the Lord has done in the last year. And I just want to thank you again for your prayer. And I would ask that you continue to pray with us that we'd be able to see the Lord work in a great and a mighty way as we stay faithful to Him. Please continue to pray for our family as well, that we would stay healthy, that we would be safe, and that we would be able to continue to promote the gospel, advance the gospel there in the Ivory Coast. You can pray specifically for us to be safe and healthy from malaria, tropical diseases like that. Katie and I have already both had malaria once, and it's not fun, but it is a fact of life. We'd like to avoid it as much as we can, and so you can pray for that. And you can also pray that we be able to be safe with things like traffic. The traffic there is absolutely crazy, and we would like to stay safe in that aspect. And then you can be praying for our French, and that the Lord would continue to help Katie and me as we develop our French, and then as we help our children to develop their French. Our girls are speaking very little. They're speaking words here and there, and I think they understand more than they speak, but we're praying that that would also continue to develop. Because ultimately, our goal is that the gospel be advanced, and we have to speak French in order for that to happen. And so we're just praying that the Lord uses these different things. But just a quick snapshot of what the Lord's been doing in the last year, and then now going forward with the next phase of construction, and as we anticipate the future. Let's look in our Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the title of the message this evening is The Gospel Advances. The Gospel Advances. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Verse 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." The context of 1 Corinthians lies in Acts chapter 18 and chapter 19. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul was passing through the area of Corinth, and he was preaching and teaching, and then he went along to the town of Ephesus, and he began to preach there. And it seems almost as if he may have crossed paths with Apollos while he was in Ephesus, but for sure, Apollos also was in Ephesus, preaching and teaching the gospel, and then he went along up to Corinth and went to preach the gospel there, where Paul was just preaching. So they both have been in Corinth recently, and they both have been preaching the gospel. They both have been teaching the word. But while Apollos is in Corinth, it seems that Paul received word back in Ephesus of some strife that was taking place in Corinth. He begins to hear about divisions taking place there in the church of Corinth, specifically over the topic, more or less, of who is the better preacher. Is it Paul or is it Apollos? And so Paul is grieved by this, and he's recognizing this must be stopped. This must be solved quickly. This fleshly characteristic, this carnal characteristic must be put to a stop quickly, or else it's going to cause division and disunity in the church of Corinth. They're going to begin to think, oh, well, we are part of the Paul tribe. We're part of the Apollos tribe. And they start to say, well, Paul baptized me. No, Apollos baptized me. I think Paul's a better preacher. You know, Paul really knows how to use illustrations really well, and he connects well with us. But Apollos is more eloquent, and he can connect, or he can explain the word to us in a way that we just really get it. And so they begin to have two different sections there in the local church of Corinth, dividing over more or less who is the better preacher. Is it Paul or is it Apollos? That's why we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we begin to see Paul addressing this situation head on. In fact, in the end of chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, he addresses what would be spirit-filled living. And then at the beginning of chapter 3, he addresses what would be fleshly living, carnal living, living after the old man instead of after the Spirit of God who dwells within us. He calls this the natural man in verse 14 of chapter 2. a carnal way of living, a fleshly way of living, in contrast to a spirit-filled way of living. And so in chapter 3, he addresses this even more specifically, and he writes this letter to the church of Corinth to address their carnality. Now you might say, Josh, I see the title of your message is The Gospel Advances. So what does carnality have to do with missions? What does carnality have to do with the furtherance of the gospel? It has everything to do with it. Because, you see the last line there on the screen, what is a hindrance to the gospel? It is carnality in the church. Fleshly living in the church. And so Paul is addressing this very specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If there is carnality in the local church, that will be an opposition, a hindrance to the spread of the gospel. In fact, if you remember from my message on Wednesday evening, we preached through Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we see the first persecution of the local church in the first century. Did you notice that in the midst of this intense persecution, the gospel still continues? They prayed in that prayer for boldness, right? They prayed for boldness in the midst of their persecution. And at the end, we saw that they preached with boldness. So that means that persecution was not a hindrance to the gospel. Rather, it was almost as if God was using the persecution to further the gospel even more. But then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's like we see the first hindrance to the gospel. It's similar to what we see in the book of Acts with the lying of Ananias and Sapphira. The carnality in the local church is a hindrance to the gospel. And that's what we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a hindrance to the spread of the gospel when we begin to have division, disunity in the local church. Team Paul versus Team Apollos. And that's why Paul writes this letter to address this issue. And he says, we cannot have this issue. So instead of having carnality in the church, what is the solution? What is the solution? And that's what we come to the title of the message, The Gospel Advances, number one, when we view each believer as a minister of the gospel. The gospel advances when we view each believer as a minister of the gospel. Look with me at verse 4. It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Verse 5. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but who are they? Ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to," how many people? "Every man." So that means every individual has a minister by whom we can hear the gospel, by whom we can receive the gospel. For me, I heard the gospel as a young child, from my parents. My parents shared the gospel with me. They were the ministers by whom I believed, by whom I received the gospel. For you, maybe it was your parents, maybe it was a friend, a coworker, maybe it was your pastor, someone who was a minister, a servant, an instrument to share the gospel with you and to bring the gospel into your life. And so Paul is saying, Paul and Apollos are simply ministers. They are simply servants, people that God is using, instruments that God is using to introduce the gospel and to preach the gospel, to advance the gospel, to further the gospel. These people, Paul and Apollos, do not want to attract a following. That's not their purpose. They want to simply preach the gospel. The word minister, as you know, would be a servant, right? A servant. And if you're a servant, there's no room for attracting a following. There's no room for pride like that. Rather, there's room for humility and simply being used as a tool, an instrument for the furtherance of the gospel. Every single one of us has this responsibility as well. Yes, we have been the beneficiary of it, that someone is a minister to us, someone shared the gospel with us, but each one of us has the same responsibility to share the gospel to someone else, to be a minister for someone else. I want to tell you about a man in the Ivory Coast. His name is Felix Zoe. Felix Zoe. He's the man on the right there in the left picture, and the man holding Bethany in the right picture. Felix is such a wonderful man, and I'm so grateful for him. He was already saved before our arrival. He's been saved for 15 years. And I'm so grateful for his faithfulness to the Lord. But when I think of him, I think of the word servant. He's a servant. He is so faithful. On Tuesdays, he participates in evangelism in his own village. He lives in Anna. He participates in evangelism. On Wednesday, he's helping so much in coordinating things for the Wednesday services and helping me there for our Wednesday services in Anna. And then on Friday mornings, he makes visits with our family because we don't know where people live. There's no address system in the Ivory Coast. And so he has to show us where their house is. And so we'll, you know, drive through the village together, and he'll show me where they live. We'll walk in there and go visit them together. He has been my right-hand man. Even though he's older than me, he has been so faithful. He's been a servant. And then he's faithful again on Saturdays. He goes to another nearby village and evangelizes with people. And then on Sundays, he goes to church. So at least 5 days of the week, he is working in the ministry, doing different things in addition to his job. Yeah, he works in agricultural things there in the village. And so we're just so grateful for Felix. And I just wanted to introduce him to you. You may see pictures of him from time to time in our prayer letters. But I'm so grateful for him, for his wife, and for their faithfulness. When I see 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 5, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers by whom he believed? I see Felix, and I see someone who has been a minister, a servant. He has led countless people to the Lord. I've seen him do it as we've been together. And it's a blessing to work together with him. He's humble. He's a servant. He doesn't want a following. That's not his mentality. But rather, he just wants to be a servant, a minister to share and spread the gospel to others. So when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see the tendency for carnality in the local church. And when we have carnality in the church, a fleshly living in the church, division, disunity in the church, then we're going to have a hindrance, an obstacle to the gospel. But the gospel can advance when we view each believer as a minister of the gospel, not as someone to be followed, not as let's be on the Paul team, the Apollos team, but rather, no, they're simply servants. And I'm a servant, someone that God wants to use to spread the gospel to others. And God has used someone else to share the gospel with me. We are all ministers and servants by whom someone believed, someone that we can share the gospel with as well. So the gospel advances when we view each believer as a minister of the gospel. And then secondly, the gospel advances when we recognize and fulfill our individual responsibilities. When we recognize and fulfill our individual responsibilities. Look with me at verse 6. Paul is expounding on his ministry and Apollos' ministry, and he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And so we see different aspects or functions of God's harvest field, of God's great enterprise of missions. We see the people who are planting. We see the people who come along afterwards and water that seed. And then we see the increase. And it's God alone who is getting the increase. And so therefore, it is God alone who should receive the glory for that increase. We cannot take the credit for what God is doing. We were simply fulfilling our responsibilities. We each must recognize and fulfill our individual responsibilities. Each one of us has a job to do in God's enterprise of missions, and that is to sow some seeds or to water some seeds and then step back and watch God bring those seeds to fruition and be able to see people accept Christ as their Savior. But each one of us must be faithful in this work, recognizing it, fulfilling it, and being faithful to do it. Sowing seeds, watering seeds, and watching God give the increase. Every single one of us has a job to do, right? In the local church, we see this picture of a body working together. Each one of us has an individual responsibility, the local church working together in action for the furtherance of the gospel. Perhaps God has gifted you more in the area of just simply sowing a lot of seeds. Perhaps God has gifted you more in the area of coming behind and watering those seeds, making follow-up visits, trying to see if these people are ready to receive the gospel. Perhaps God has gifted you in the area of praying and praying and praying and praying while people are going out and sowing seeds and watering seeds. Whatever the case may be, God has gifted you in a particular area, and we must recognize that, and we must fulfill it and be faithful to accomplish it. And so the gospel can advance if each one of us recognizes and fulfills our individual responsibilities. The Lord left us with a prayer request in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 through 38. It's the only prayer request that Jesus left with us. He says to pray for laborers. Pray for laborers for the harvest field. And that prayer request that was given 2,000 years ago is still very true today. Whether it is here in the United States or whether it is in the Ivory Coast, we are in desperate need of laborers. We don't just need full-time missionaries. We need that. But we just simply need Christians to all individually recognize and fulfill our individual responsibilities. Each one of us has been gifted to do this and called to do this, to just simply share the gospel with those around us. But yes, at the same time, we do need full-time missionaries. The Ivory Coast is ripe. There are so many areas that do not have gospel-preaching churches. For decades, independent Baptist missionaries have been along the coastal line of the Ivory Coast. And that's great because that's where most of the people live. We still need more missionaries there. But then now, missionaries are starting to work their way north. Some missionaries that we're working with are starting to make plans to move north and plant churches in the north. Why? Because those are untouched areas, people that have never received the gospel before. There are areas like that all around the Ivory Coast and West Africa, but all around the world. These regions that need the gospel, these people groups that have never heard it. They've been living in animism or spirit worship or tied to Islam or Catholicism or whatever the case may be for too long, for decades. And they simply need someone to come along and share with them the love and the truth of Christ. Each one of us has this responsibility. We might meet that person at the post office in Columbus. And that's great. Use that opportunity to share the gospel with them or to make a connection, a relationship with them. But perhaps God wants one of you to join us in the Ivory Coast or in West Africa and to come to a region that has never, ever received the gospel and never seen a gospel-preaching church. Even in this village, the village of Anna, Felix will tell me very often that the preaching that we have there in that church is exceptional. It's not, I assure you, because my French is so great. I assure you. No, why is it? It's because I'm only preaching the Bible. That's the only thing I can preach. I don't have experience or opinions to share. So I just open the Bible and I share with them God's truth. And that is surprising to most Africans because they're used to people using experiences. The casting out of demons, the deliverance, and speaking in tongues, something else to grab people's attention rather than simply the truth of God's word. And so I assure you, if we simply go to these villages and these towns that don't have gospel-preaching churches and we just share truth, it will make an impact. That's all we're doing there. I feel that we're simply sharing the gospel very simply, and God is blessing it because the people are starving for truth. All we have to do is share with them the love and the truth of Christ, and we watch God do the rest. He's the one who gives the increase. So every day we're going in and we're planting seeds, we're watering seeds, and then we watch God give the increase. So the gospel will advance when each one of us recognizes our individual responsibilities, whether it's here in Columbus or whether it's there in West Africa. I want to tell you about another man named Prince Baba. He is a wonderful young man. I'm so grateful for him. I met him in January. We were taking a walk through our neighborhood, and I saw some Mormons speaking with him, and I felt like a certain obligation to follow up with that and go back afterwards and make sure that he understood that was not Christianity. So I decided to kind of just wait around a bit, and as the Mormons were finishing up, I spoke with Prince very, very briefly, told him we lived in the neighborhood and that we were independent Baptist missionaries, and we were just simply there to tell people about Jesus, and we could talk sometime, or something along those lines. And then Just a couple of days later, we were taking another walk as a family, and we passed Prince. He's 19 years old, and we passed him on the street, and I didn't recognize him at first, but we're white, and so everyone recognizes us. And he saw us, and he said, "Hey, you know, we talked the other day. It took me a minute, but then I remembered who he was." And he said he had been taking a walk, and he'd been praying, just asking God to reveal himself to him. And he said, "I want to know Jesus. Would you help me?" And I said, "You know, I'm kind of busy. I'm sorry." "No, I would love to talk to you right now." And so we walked back to our house, and I sat with him outside for an hour. And this was the first person that I had to really in-depth explain the gospel to in French. And so I went through it, and then I went through it again, and I said, "You know, Prince, did you understand that?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Do you want to become a Christian? Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive your sins, or would you like to become a Christian today?" And he said, "I've never done it, and I would like to do it today." And I said, "Well, did you understand it?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Did you understand my accent?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Is there anything that's confusing?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, would you like to go to church and talk to one of the other missionaries or one of the nationals?" And he said, "No, I want to get saved now." And I said, "Are you sure? Because we don't have to do this tonight." I gave him every opportunity to say no, because I just could not believe in my mind that God would use my French. Amen. I was thinking, how is this possible? I could barely understand what I'm saying myself. But God uses us as we plant seeds and as we water seeds, whether it's with my limited French or whatever the case may be. God will use us. And he said, I want to get saved. And I said, "All right, well, let's do this." So I asked him to pray just to ensure one more time that he understood. And he prayed such a precious prayer of repentance and faith in Christ alone for salvation. And so I gave him a New Testament. And since then, I've been meeting with him weekly in our home for discipleship. He's been attending the Sunday morning discipleship class at Bob Mack's church. And he has been such a help to us in our ministry. The middle picture shows him helping us with a nearby Bible club. He's passing out tracts there, telling others about Christ. He's asked for tracts for me to invite his friends to church and to tell them about Christ. And some of them have come to church as well. And then the picture on the right, he's the one in the blue t-shirt there. And he was baptized on Resurrection Sunday this year. Now he's a member of Bob Mack's church. So Bob Mack's on the left of that picture. And I'm just so, so grateful for Prince and to see how the Lord can use us to simply sow a seed, or later on to water a seed, and then to simply watch God give the increase. Since that time, there's been other people who've accepted Christ as well, like Clovis that I showed you in a few slides back. And every time someone accepts Christ, I'm shocked because I can't comprehend how these people can understand us and how they can understand our French to be able to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Amen. But even more than that, salvation is a supernatural work. Amen. And I am just overwhelmed to watch the Spirit at work convicting these individuals of their need for salvation. Amen. And I have quoted this verse time and time again to myself and to the national believers there. It is just a privilege to be able to plant some seeds, to water some seeds, and then just to step back and watch God give the increase. As we mentioned, because it is God who's giving the increase, therefore it is God who receives the glory. Whether it's Prince or whether it's anyone else, anything that takes place in the Ivory Coast, God receives the glory for that. Bob Mack told me, the more he is in the Ivory Coast, the more he is convinced that if anything's accomplished there for God, it is not because of us white missionaries. Rather, it is because of God and the Spirit working through us. We're in the process of understanding the language better and better, the culture better and better. And each day, yes, it gets better, but Bob Mack's been there for 30 years, and he's still recognizing God is giving the increase. And that's a humbling thing to do, but it's easy to recognize this truth when we view ourselves as simply a minister of the gospel, as we see here in this passage. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That leads us to our third and final point. The gospel advances when we receive our motivation from God, when we receive our motivation from God. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And so this verse implies a partnership that we as individual believers have with our Heavenly Father. Yes, we're partnering together with local churches to further the gospel. We're partnering together with you as individuals to further the gospel. But we're also partnering together with God Himself. He is enabling us to do the work. As individual believers, we have this responsibility to share the gospel, to further the gospel. We can only accomplish this as we receive our motivation, our power from God alone. In the Ivory Coast, they have an expression. They say, on est ensemble. And that means we are together. We are together in this. And we experienced this recently through a really difficult situation in the Ivory Coast, something that we could not have navigated alone. Yes, we needed the Lord for sure, but we could not have navigated the situation without the national believers. And they told me that over and over. We're together. We're together. We're together. I've heard that ever since we've been in the Ivory Coast, and I thought it was a cliche that didn't mean anything. But it does mean something in their culture. We're together. We're going to help you through this. And they did. They helped us through that difficult situation. But so much more is that true with God. We are together with God. We are laborers together with Him. We truly cannot accomplish His work alone at all. And that's the reason when Jesus left us with the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But then He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. And so He is giving us this promise of both His power and His presence, that He will always be with us and that we can accomplish what He calls us to accomplish because of Him, not because of us. We are laborers together with God. We have this partnership with God. And we can only accomplish anything in the Ivory Coast by God's power and because of Christ's presence. But it's the same here. We can only lead that coworker to Christ. We can only share the gospel with our uncle by the power of God and through His presence. That's the only way that this is accomplished. We are laborers together with God. Christ recognized what He was asking us to do. He recognized it was a very difficult task and a very large one. As I'm mentioning, regions in the Ivory Coast that still do not have gospel-preaching churches. It's a large task at hand and a very difficult one. But He goes with us and He says, all power is available. My presence is with you. And now we have the certainty and the assurance of this promise to go on and to go forward despite the difficulties. So the gospel can advance and will advance when we view each believer as a minister of the gospel, when we recognize and we fulfill our individual responsibilities, and then when we draw strength directly from God. It's impossible to do so otherwise. Just in conclusion, here are a few thoughts summarizing these points. As I mentioned in the context of this passage is the carnality in the local church. It is impossible for the gospel to be advanced if there's carnality, if there's fleshly living in the local church, because there will be team Apollos and team Paul. There will be divisions and disunity in the local church. But as we confess that carnality, that fleshly living, it might not be of going after a following of a particular man like that. It might be anything else. The Holy Spirit, I'm sure, can impress upon your heart if there's any area of fleshly living or carnality this evening. Because if there is, those areas will be an obstacle, a hindrance to the furtherance of the gospel. But then secondly, we must fulfill our individual responsibility. I don't know what that will be for you. For me and for my family, the Lord has called us to the Ivory Coast to plant churches there, and specifically in the village of Anna. And while we're doing that every day, as the Lord gives us opportunity, we seek to share the gospel with others. But it's similar for us here in the States. wherever we are, whatever we're doing, the Lord will give us different opportunities, different occasions to share the gospel. We must take advantage of those, to recognize them, and then to fulfill our responsibility faithfully. And then finally, we must find our ability in Christ for this task. We must find our ability in Christ for this task, because this task is too large for us. We cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish on our own. But together with Christ, we are laborers together with Him. We can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Just in conclusion, I'll read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. The Bible tells us, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind." And get this last phrase, "striving together for the faith of the gospel." This verse tells us that unity is essential for us to be able to work together for the furtherance, the advancement of the gospel. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, at first we may see some negativity, and we might think, oh, how can the gospel be advanced? There's this carnal church that the Apostle Paul is addressing, but I don't think that's the main emphasis. I think he's saying, if we reverse what's happening here, if we confess the carnality and our perspective, the gospel can once again be advanced. We can go forward together, striving together in unity for the faith of the gospel. And so again, as we look at this conclusion, I urge you this evening, if there's any one of these areas that the Lord has worked upon your heart this evening, would you just take a moment during the invitation song to work through this in your heart in prayer. Whether it's a specific area in your life that needs to be confessed, or whether it's a specific responsibility that the Lord is impressing upon your heart, or perhaps a specific person that needs to hear the gospel. Or perhaps we've been doing it in our own strength, and we simply need to say, "Lord, this task is too large, and I need you. Would you help me? Would you enable me to do what we cannot do? To be able to go forward with your presence and with your power to see much accomplished for the cause of Christ." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege it is to be here. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I ask that you would work in my heart and that you would help me as I fulfill our calling upon our life, and that we would be able to stay faithful to you in that. But I pray for each one of us here this evening, and that we would stay faithful to you and that we would walk with you. If there's any area in our life that has been a hindrance to the gospel, that we would confess that this evening. That if there's any specific person or specific task you have for us, that you would impress that upon our hearts and help us to obey you and fulfill that with faithfulness. And then, Lord, if we've been trying any of this on our own, that you would prompt our heart about that and help us to draw strength from you, that you would enable us to do what we cannot do, so that we can see the gospel advanced. We pray that you'd bless this invitation time. In your name I pray. Amen.
Sing 494. All the verses of 494. "Hear my Lord, send me.
Lord, I give my life to you. Take control each day. My heart. send me.